הסתר ובני זבות, הם פרשת בוי, פנדי גמח נפריים. כיסה זן דפוסק, וכל בני ישראל, דייך לצקר ולשוי נוי. And the dogs didn't bark at the Eden on the way out of Mitzrayim. So he starts off just with an introduction that the Torah wasn't given with Nekidus. The Torah is just a bunch of letters. You can read them however you want, unless you look into a Chumash and you see how it's pronounced. So in order to darshan, sometimes we pronounce words differently. So he says that the Pusik is teaching us that the reason why Yidden were able to go out of Mitzrayim, were able to be helped, and were able to be saved, was because they were duvik and midas emes. They were truthful. When a person is truthful, when a person says what he means, it means what he says, and he's duvik in the midah of emes, automatically there's amtukas agviras. A lot of bad things that should happen to him or are coming his way are taken care of just because emes takes care of those things. As opposed to a person who's duvik midas ashaker, he doesn't say what he means, he's not honest, he's not open, he's not truthful, automatically it's mo'ir dinam on a person that brings a lot of bad things to happen to him. So the Torah is teaching us, l'chol b'nai yisroel l'yechretz, all the bad things that didn't happen to Christ on the way up, l'yechretz, I guess, you know, the bad things didn't happen to them. Nobody was able to harm them, right? Why? Because kelev l'shoinai, not kelev, kelev. Like the heart, that's how they spoke. They were truthful. And when they do the kemidas emes, even though they were in a very bad madraiga, right? We know haludu valudu evidu v'dezura. But the fact that they were truthful, and pivoli v'shufim, they were duvik and midas emes, that's why all the dinam, all the bad things that were could have happened to them, were taken care of. Now, he talks about, in general, that when people suffer and bad things happen to people, it's because they're duvik and midas ashaker. And it's not a question that if a person wants to have a successful life and be a mensch and get places in life, he has to be truthful. Nobody likes a person who's not truthful. Not being truthful is very hurts relationships. Not a question. Not being truthful hurts people themselves. When a person's not a truthful person, automatically he's going to be tempted and driven to do things that he shouldn't, and it's going to cause himself harm. Forget about other people. And it's not a question that we're always looking to promote a truthful attitude. Even when it comes to children, for example, it's well known that when a child admits to doing something wrong, Many mechanchim will tell you, don't punish a child because he admitted. You want to teach him to be truthful. You want children to know that as long as you don't lie, you say the truth, you won't be punished. Something about teaching that the truthful way, even when you're being truthful about doing something bad, is the way to go. Now here's the tricky part, because you can always be truthful. You can't be too truthful. And part of what we're going to be talking about today has to do with not being too truthful. So, you know, that's why I'm giving this introduction, that it shouldn't sound like being truthful is optional or voluntary or a nice thing to do. Being truthful is yisod ha'chaim. I mean, that's not a question. Chavis Hovis does mention that the reason why Shaker was created was not to say something that's hurtful or bad or shouldn't be said, but there's definitely the basic understanding that being honest and truthful and doing things in an honest and truthful way is the way to go. One of the first questions we're going to be asking to come to Shemayim is the Nesos of Nesata B'Emuna. I have somebody. The simple explanation of it is that you were truthful in business, you were honest, and you did what you were supposed to. You didn't fool anyone. So with that said, let me read a question over here. Okay, I just read your Yiddish Shir on Parshas Koyrech, and it really made me zerstürmt inside. I guess you got overtaken by it. Okay, so initially I thought it was my wife writing the question, then I realized that it must not have been, because I'm not really hiding that much and I don't have the issues that you were describing in the Shir. Okay, let me just say the following. Many times when I say a question, when I read a question, very many people tell me they think it's their wife that wrote it. Sometimes I think it's my wife that wrote it. And that's first of all, so don't be surprised by that part. You don't have to prove that it is or isn't, because many people are dealing with the same thing, you can be sure. The fact that you don't have those specific issues that I mentioned in the Shir, let me just say this much. I'm not saying it's that this questioner starts doubting himself. I'm saying it's that people know this. I very often change the identifying details in a question. I do it sometimes quick enough that you don't even notice where I'm changing something. But the point is that if it may have been your wife, I don't know, but it's irrelevant. Now, I didn't find myself identifying with the husband she wrote about, as I do often find myself hiding different things from my wife because I'm simply not comfortable sharing them very often. I've tried sharing many things, and very often I come away feeling put down and hurt, and it's simply easier to share less. For example, I shared with her about somebody who is making more money or putting on more effort to make more money or whatever it was that he was describing here, and her first response was, why don't you too? I want to know how can I feel comfortable talking to her without feeling judged, right? It could be that it's all in my head and she really doesn't judge me, and then again the person who wrote that letter that you read in that shir might also have only been afraid in his head, and in reality had nothing to fear. But the feelings are real. I really feel that if I would have to borrow money, it would be very hard for me to tell her because she wouldn't handle it, and it's easier for me to keep it to myself. And I don't want to feel looked down at, or talked down to, or judged, or have to keep hearing about it, or listen to her worries that will follow. So of course, women could have complaints about not having their husbands share enough with them, but then again, it's not always easy to share with them. I hope I will never be in the situation like the one you read about, Chas v'Shalom. On the other hand, it's very hard for me to believe that I would be comfortable sharing with my wife these kind of things. Thank you so much. Okay, I think it's pretty clear. The question is that, you know, I understand a woman who's writing that she doesn't like that her husband is not open and honest and doesn't share everything with her. On the other hand, I've tried many times, he's saying, and I come away feeling put down. How could I share something with my wife if the first reaction is going to be one that makes me feel bad and I'm not interested in hearing that? Okay, so let me just say this. This is a very sensitive topic, and it's not so easy for me to talk about publicly, even though I've done it many times. I just mean to say that, you know, very often things that I say when it comes to something touchy, where a husband has his way of looking at it and a wife has hers, and they're actually both being open about the fact that I don't want her to know how I'm doing things, so it's getting a little touchy and sensitive. But the first thing that I will start with is that just reading these questions sometimes is helpful. Not just because people like to identify and say, you know what, I'm not the only one, I hear other people have these problems, which is not terrible. Just, you know, tzura sarabim, chutz in the chumah, I'm not the only one in the problem. But it's more than that. I think it's important for men and women to hear both sides. I think it's important for men to hear the other shia where I say that a woman could be feeling very hurt when things are being hidden from her. It's important to know that, and to try your best not to hurt your wife. On the other hand, it's important for women to hear the way men see it, that, you know, how could I share with my wife if that's what her reaction? It's important for you to know that if you want to make your husband feel more comfortable, you know, if you want your husband to want to share with you more, you might want to try to make him feel more comfortable. Whether it's right or wrong to make him feel comfortable, if you want to be, you have to decide, what do you want more? You want him to be open with you, or you want him to know that you want him to make more money, for example. It's your decision. I mean, if you want to be an intelligent woman that helps the relationship and helps the home, sometimes tolerating and accepting and being respectful and, you know, giving a different kind of attitude might just get you further than blurting out your comments that you're tempted to say. And it's good for people to hear, you know, what those kind of comments do. Now, I also want to be very clear about the fact that this has nothing to do. I can't say nothing. It's not specifically men-woman related. You could have very many women who will say the same thing. I would gladly share my conversation that I had with my husband, and he asked me what I spoke about. But I know that if I tell him that we spoke about my sister getting a job, his first reaction will be, why don't you get a job? Same thing. Or if I tell my husband that I had an extra hour today, instead of being happy for me, he's asking why I didn't clean up, so I don't tell him. And things like that. So that's point number one that's important for people to hear. And I want to add, I don't mean this in a manipulative way. I don't mean to say that if you're quiet and you let someone share, then you'll get in on all the secrets. So I'm teaching you how to find out all the information, right? When somebody tells you something, don't attack them. You'll find another way for them to get the message across through someone else, but you'll just, like this, you'll get, that's not what it is. When somebody's sharing something, whether it's an opinion or something that happened or whatever it is, part of letting them share is because you understand and accept that they're allowed to have their own opinion. If somebody says something and you're not going to shut them down, it's not just so that you'll get him to talk more. That's why you're not shutting him down. He doesn't deserve to be shut down. He's entitled to see something different than you, and he's entitled to have a whole different mindset, opinions, and feelings about a certain topic. So just shutting someone down and attacking them for saying something or for thinking or feeling something is wrong, aside from the fact that might tempt him now to share with you less. Now, when it comes to keeping things private or secret in a marriage, let me just start with this. There's so many different ways to look at this. There's normal, and normal is a big range of normal. And then there's extremes. Let me tell you what I mean. There are husbands, and I hear this from men all the time, there are those who, I will ask them, for example, what do you do? Just recently I was talking to somebody, and I asked him something like, what are you doing? What does your wife say about it? And whatever. And he said, oh, she doesn't really know. She knows that I have this company and that I do some stuff on Amazon, for example. I said, oh, but she doesn't know what you're dealing with? No, she knows what my source of income is, and she doesn't care. I said, do you care? Do you mind? No, it's fine. There are couples that it works just fine. My wife knows basically what I do, basically what I'm busy with. She doesn't need it no more, and I'm fine with that too. And there's a lot of different in that range of normal. You have the ones who know more, and I'm happy with her knowing more. The ones that know even less, and I'm happy with her knowing less. And then you have the extremes. The extremes are the ones that have to know everything and tell me exactly what you did and exactly what you earned and exactly who you did it with and where the other $5 go and what were you busy with between 10 and 10:30. Didn't you have a break and things like that? Even if someone's okay with it, it's not normal. Then you have the other way around, and I've heard people complain to me about that. I'll tell you the truth. I'm busy. I'm trying to make money. I'm this, I'm that. I occupy myself with whatever, X, Y, Z. My wife has no clue. She'll never ask me where I am, never ask me what I do, never show any interest at all in my life, my schedule, in my nothing. And it's hurtful. But that's what I mean to say, that there's normal. And normal is whatever works for people. And what works for me might not work for you. It works for one guy, the next guy. You know, there's normal. There's no one set rules about how much interest or how much knowledge or how much sharing you're supposed to do. But then there's the extremes that are not normal. And those are the situations that have to be dealt with differently. Let's just say that. So the fact that you're writing me that you're tashturmt was the illusion, right? I'm tashturmt. I don't want to share certain things because my wife won't handle them. Like I said, don't be tashturmt. It's very common, this issue. And if it's common, you know, there's nothing to be disturbed about. It's not saying anything very bad about your relationship, the fact that your wife makes a comment, and that's why you think twice before you say something. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, as long as it's within range. I overheard an interesting conversation, Mamish, this past week. Hashem sent it to me, I guess, just to see how common this is, I guess. I was already thinking about this question. Basically, it went something like this. A guy in shul needed a certain appliance fixed, and he had a friend who fixed his appliances. So, you know, he asks him, "You know, I need this appliance fixed, and maybe you'd be able to come over to help me." He says, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He says, "Well, tell me, what do you charge?" You know, I understand, it's your panusa. And he said, "No, a good friend, it's probably a little thing. The way he was describing it, it's nothing. I'll come in, I'll take care of it, it's not a problem." So the guy tells him, "I'll tell you the truth, I don't want to use your services without paying. You know, so I want to pay you, this is your panusa, I'm fine, whatever it costs, I'll pay you, not a question. Now, not a problem. I just ask you one favor, that when you come over to my house and you fix it, don't mention any money. I won't tell my wife that it was for free, otherwise she's not going to know. Why didn't I do it myself? Why did I call you? I should have waited, I should have called the 1-800 number. It's not that much money. This is what you do for panusa, I'm happy to pay you." The guy answers him, "I'll tell you the truth. I was about to ask you to give me a check for the full amount that I charge, and to tell you that I wasn't going to cash it, but I want to show my wife that I got the money. She shouldn't think that I was just being used and working for free for my friend." So he had two guys that each had the same issue, let's call it, that their wife is going to have a problem with how they decided to do something. He decided, and you're not talking about $10,000, he decided it's worth $150 to give his friend panusa and have someone just take care of the problem and not have to break his head on how to do it, because it's totally not his line. He has no idea how to do this. The other guy was ready to do it for free and not charge anything. They both had an issue. What's my wife going to say? So he says, "Make sure my wife doesn't know that I'm paying you." And he says, "Make sure my wife doesn't know that you're not paying me." And we're good to go. You know, what they did in the end, I don't even know. But the point is that it's very common. And if women, again, I'm saying it's not only women, but if women will only know that by hounding your husband, you're just causing him to share less with you, and not necessarily to change the way he wants to do something, you know, that's not necessarily helping much. Like I said before, it's a sensitive topic. And I don't mean to say that you should start... You stop making all your own decisions and hiding everything and just not sharing, and it's so common, this is what everyone does anyway. Of course, there are things that should be shared. Of course, there are things that it's not right when you don't share, etc., which we'll talk about in a moment. But there's definitely the idea that, you know, I'm only going to share what's helpful and user-friendly to share, and not something that's going to work against me. Now, before I go on, there's a boundary issue that I talk about in many classes, and that's that in every relationship, you have the mine, the yours, and the ours. There are things that are mine. I'm not going to go into now if the $150 for the appliance technician is mine or it's ours. The point is that aside from how much information you want to share and how much secrets you want to hide, there's a general understanding that most couples could use help with sometimes, or at least it would be helpful if couples would know this, put it, what belongs to who. If I'm making my panus and I have my job and I'm covering the bills, and that's how I like to do things, and that's where I feel good, and that's where I feel productive, and that's what leaves me some time to learn, and that's what makes me whatever, it's fine. My wife shouldn't, a wife should know to not harass her husband and put him down for doing things his way when he's fulfilling his obligations. She's going to decide how he should do something. Same thing is the other way around. So often I feel that if only people would know who should be deciding what, they wouldn't have this issue of hiring and sharing and things like that, because it wouldn't be out of respect of my opinion or respect out of accepting what I'm sharing, as much as just understanding, listen, this is how I want to do something. If I tell you that I want to leave my job a half hour early today and go to a simcha of a close friend that I feel, you know, I owe it to, it's not just that you're going to make me feel good, it's that I'm open with you about my schedule. I deserve to have control over what I want to do when it affects me. The fact that it might cost a few dollars on the paycheck, well, of course, it might affect everyone, but at the end of the day, there's a certain respect of boundaries. That's aside from information sharing. And I just wanted to throw that in there because it's very, very important. Now, in terms of being honest in general, right? We started off with the Kalev Lashoino. It's definitely the right way to do things when you're honest, not a question. At the same time, Chazal teach us that the Mitl Lashonis from Darka Shulim, it's not a question that you're not supposed to hurt someone. It's not a question that if it's going to rock the boat or cause a machloikis or whatever it is, then you're allowed to twist the truth, let's call it. Lashonis, Lashakar, Lashanis, you're allowed to twist the truth, change the truth, or whatever you want to call it, to not cause a machloika. That's Chazal teaching us that. In terms of, that's even when you're being untruthful about something. And your wife asks, did you pay him for that? No, I gave him $10 just for whatever. No, I didn't. That's mitl lashanis, like a shulim. I think that's the right application. Again, you have to know when to apply it, you have to know when not to apply it, you have to know when it's not overboard, but I think that's the right application. Then there's the idea of not sharing something is going to work against you. Again, this is a very clear idea, not something, and I mentioned this before, is the Batanira on the Mishnah, Altar B'Sicha Me'isha. The Mishnah over says, don't talk too much with your wife. And it's talking about your own wife, Me'isha. People don't realize, and the Mishnah says, Be'ishtei Omri. Don't talk too much with your wife. The Batanira explains, why not? Because look what happens, right, the story of the by Koirach. You come home and you tell your wife that somebody spoke bad about you. You're just sharing information, right? But she might now look down at you. So don't talk too much. Don't say the things. Don't share the things. That's called share. Don't share the things with your wife that she won't handle well or will work against you. Can't get a better source than that to not share information that's going to be used against you. And over here, all you're sharing is that somebody else did something wrong to you, but she might take it wrong. Don't do that to yourself. You're not hurting her. You're hurting yourself. Don't share something that's going to hurt yourself. So we definitely find that there's, you know, this idea. I'll tell you another thing, which is maybe a little similar, maybe not, but when it comes to saying Misr, Terchocha, we definitely find that Kshem Shemitzvah Loi Medivra Nishma, Kach Loi Loi Mitzvah Loi Loi Medivra Shloi Nishma, also something I quote often, don't say something that won't be taken well. And the Rambam is applying that to Halukhus, the Raisa Pashtas, where you see your wife doing something she shouldn't, but she won't handle if you tell her not to do it. So Mitiv Shishag Gim, it's better that she doesn't know, than to say, well, what do you mean? I have to be honest, I have to be truthful, I can't make believe. Well, only if it's going to be taken well. So the idea of not sharing something that's not taken well is not a new idea that you came up with or that Shirin Pashas Koirich, made you aware of. This is an old idea that not everything could be shared, not everything should be shared. I think that's something that... I think it's something that people can understand. Trying to control someone else's reaction to what you're sharing is a lot harder than deciding what, in a responsible way, what should and what shouldn't be shared. Now, some people want to share everything. Some people don't want to have to hide something. I hear this from people. I want to be able to tell my wife whatever I want, and she should take it the right way. Some people are asking the question, am I allowed to hide something? Other people are saying, I don't want to hide anything. I want to tell her that today I decided to go to a restaurant, I treated myself to a $100 lunch, and I want her to be just fine with that. It's fine for you to want that. You could try to get her to be fine with it. But if it's not working, I think you're just better off not saying something like that. I don't know if it's the right thing to buy a $100 lunch. That's a separate discussion. But it's easier to control yourself and the amount of information you share and how it's going to be taken and how it's going to work against you than to try to control how somebody reacts to something you just shared. It's just a very technical and practical thing. Now, sometimes people give up on this too quickly. If I share this with my wife, she's going to scream at me, so I'm not sharing anything, that's it. From now till 120, I'm done. Why? Very often, in a good moment, in a calm moment, you can bring something up when it's irrelevant, and especially when it's irrelevant, and when things are calm. So you have, remember that comment I once said about that? Remember how it was taken? I remember that it bothered me very much. I would have liked if at least when I say something like that, if the reaction could be X, Y, Z. And then in another conversation, you want me to make more money, for example, we could talk about it. And we do talk about it often, if I should make more money or not. But I want that when I share something about someone, or I just come home and tell you something about my day, I don't want to feel that it's being used against me. There's such a thing. I spoke about it recently about a guy who told me that he tried educating his wife in a calm moment about what it is that would be helpful when he shared something that was sensitive, and she took it well, and she responded and reacted the way he asked her to please do so, and it was helpful, and he was able to share. So it was a win-win situation. He was able to get it off his chest and share with somebody who loves him and cares for him, and she now knew what it is that he's looking to hear, which maybe she didn't realize before that. I think it's very important. It's not good when husband and wife just get used to living their own life and saying, you know, I can't share, so I can't share. You want to feel you have someone's back? I was talking recently to somebody who was so hurt that he went through something problematic, and he was almost sure that his wife would stick up for him, let's call it, when she hears about it or if she hears about it. In the meantime, he was shocked to hear that she was just like joining the bandwagon of people that were bad-mouthing him. He couldn't believe it. If she was right or wrong, I don't know. I do know. She was wrong. She shouldn't have done that. It's not like she knew that he did something wrong. She heard people saying he did something wrong, and he didn't. But it's irrelevant. The point of it is that husband and wife shouldn't be able to rely on each other. So this is the balance. Not everything you want to say will always be taken well, and some people will take things better than others. And when you know it won't be taken well, you don't have to share. On the other hand, you want it to be taken well, and certain things you could get your wife to take well, or your husband. And if you could get there in a healthy and calm way, by sharing your feelings, your true feelings, about how you want something that you should be taken, not as you're sharing or not as she's criticizing you, but in a calmer moment, I'd be thankful about how she's able to listen to you and accept you. I think it's definitely better for the relationship in general. So in the parts, in the topics, in the areas where even if initially on their own are not being taken so well, you can get someone to take you more well and understand you better, I think it's definitely good. Now, like I said before, there's no extreme. Extremes are never good. There are people who are extremely dishonest in how much they share. And like we started, you know, Kalev Lashrani, you're not a person when you're not honest. Nothing's going to stop you. There's no accountability. And I heard this recently from somebody who was saying, you know, in the past he was so dishonest that there was nothing stopping him from doing anything because he was able to cover up everything with lies. And he was so good at it, nobody ever caught him doing anything. He could do what he wanted and go where he wanted and say what he wanted and take what he wanted. Nobody ever knew because he was always able to cover up. Until he realized that his life became unmanageable, his personal life. Then he went to the other extreme. He was so honest that he was busy making sure everything was shared and everything was known that it wasn't possible to move on like that. You can't share every aspect of your life. You can't. You can't share everything going on in your mind. It would be terrible if somebody knew everything going on in your mind. So there has to be definitely a certain amount of moderation to know when and what. That's first of all. Second of all, even if you do want to hide something, or even if there's a discussion at home about hiding, some people, they take this as, so I'm allowed to hide things. Okay, I'm going to tell my wife. You heard that speech? From now on, I don't have to tell you everything. If something won't be taken well, I'm not going to tell you. There's no reason to tell someone that you're not telling them something. If you want to hide something and you feel that it's right or appropriate or applicable, go ahead. But to tell someone that I'm not telling you because I don't have to tell you, there's no point in that either. That alone could be hurtful. And that's where some people, I don't know, maybe it's obvious, but some people make that mistake. I'm not telling you how much I earn. If I tell you, you can start giving me a song and a dance. I'm not telling you. Why are you telling me that you're not telling me? Okay. Then there's another thing, and that's what I said before about boundaries, where people actually hide information that is relevant to both and does affect both directly. And that's wrong. To make believe, okay, I don't want to give too many examples, but sometimes somebody will hide a certain piece of information which really pertains to both, and only because he's hiding it is he able to manipulate someone into doing what he wants, because, you know, we really should be going to your sister's chasna, but the driver called the last minute that he can't take us, and the whole, I just can't. If you're going to be dishonest about something that's not yours, so it's not about the reaction, you're just basically lying and controlling what someone else is doing, or how this pertains to someone else, because you decided that mental chance with Dr. Shulam, and that's how you're going to keep the shulam bias. I hope that's clear, that doesn't make any sense. Almost all the examples we're talking about till now was where I have a piece of information, I have something in my mind, something in my heart, something that I'm doing, and I'm not sharing it because you won't take it well. That's one thing. But it's different when you are now controlling somebody and what they do, and by not being honest. So that's also an important point. Now, let me just... I started off saying that when people hear this, maybe they'll learn to make other people feel more comfortable and share more with them. The fact that you make someone feel comfortable doesn't mean yet that he has to share everything with you either. Some people go, again, I just like giving all the sides of the coin. I let you say whatever you want. I never tell you that you're not doing well, so why don't you tell me? I don't have to. You know, just the fact that you're being nice and accepting what somebody says and not judging, not judgmental, doesn't mean that they have to tell you everything. There's a certain amount of privacy that people don't lose a certain amount of individuality. And I talk about it every once in a while. My phone, my text, my packets, it's mine. It's okay if it's mine, even though we got married. We don't become one person. We still remain two people. We're married. There shouldn't be too many secrets. I shouldn't be living a double life. Shouldn't be living your own life. But on some level, there's definitely allowed to be a certain amount of privacy, and people should only be sharing what they feel comfortable sharing, and people should be made feel comfortable to share, and more of that. Unfortunately, sometimes you see mamish the hypocritical attitude where somebody will demand that you must share everything with me, and how can you do that, and what's with that secret, and then all of a sudden you find out that it's only a one-way street. I've seen this many times where spouse A will tell spouse B, you can't put a lock on your phone. Forget about the issues of locks on phones, but you can't hide what you just said, you can't talk in private, you can't go outside to keep a conversation or whatever. And then when it's the other way around, like, nothing doing. And the reason why not always is it so noticeable how what a hypocrite this person is because the other person's not even demanding it. So here you are, my wife is harassing me that she has to hear every conversation of mine. She doesn't realize that she wouldn't do that for me because I never ask her to share with me who she's talking to, so automatically. But then at some point, it becomes obvious that I have to share everything and you share nothing, and that's for sure not a way to go. Forget about it. It just doesn't make any sense. And I've seen people make that mistake of demanding transparency and be open with me and all that when they're not even in the ballpark of sharing that kind of information with the spouse. That doesn't make any sense. I think it's very important. Another important point when it comes to transparency, let's call it, and this is a tricky one. I've seen people make this mistake. I've seen it close up more than once. You look through somebody's notes. Forget about texting. You look through somebody's notes. You look through somebody's journal. You look through somebody's diary. And you see information that wasn't told to you. What, you're hiding this from me. I see how you think about this, how you feel. You didn't tell me. You're not honest with me. You're told that you like that I'm sitting in a coil, and in your journal you write that you can't handle it, and you're going crazy from it, and you look down at me for it. Now, like I said, everyone's entitled to their private information. There's no reason for you to read what somebody said. And they're allowed to keep it to themselves. I think you're doing the wrong thing, and I'm allowed to think so, and I don't have to share that with you, especially if it won't be taken well. But there's more than that. When somebody is journaling to themselves, or talking in their sleep, or talking to themselves, they're entitled to vent in a certain way. And it's a very touchy idea. The fact that somebody wrote something in a journal and wrote their frustration or spelled out a certain negative feeling, whatever it was, a certain anger that they're entitled to that anger. It doesn't mean that's really how they feel. Even it's not necessarily that they're hiding their ideas or perspectives or opinions from you. It could be their opinion of you is that you're the greatest guy in the world. Now, one day they really got very frustrated and they took out a journal and they vented on paper. Now, you idiot, you read that paper. All you saw is that negative opinion. You're already accusing someone of not being honest with you because they told you that they look up to you. Really, they do. In a negative moment, they said something. I compare that. Imagine if somebody would see everything going on in your mind and heart at all times. Just imagine. It would be terrible. Hashem, for a reason, let us have our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own dreams, and nobody has to know what's going on there. So to use against someone that they didn't share with you something that private, first of all, is already wrong because of privacy issues. And for you to take it so seriously and be so offended and be so taken over by the fact that somebody thought something or had a moment of anger or frustration or resentment or whatever, that also doesn't make any sense. And I've seen people make this mistake, both to think that the other person should have shared it with them, as well as taking that negativity so seriously and now being totally thrown off by it. You know what that person thinks of me? Who has to get a look there? It's not helpful. Don't do that. One last point that I will mention, that is just because I see you got very put down and very hurt when your wife said something like, maybe you should too get a better job or work more or make more money. Again, everything we spoke about till now was for people who feel that what they're saying is not being taken well, and it's fine. It's entitled. Sometimes, just don't take things so seriously. Again, if it's going on always and you do take it seriously, there's the idea of kindness of doivris. I probably once mentioned this. I remember which one of the tzaddikim said this. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, the bnei selofcha, they have complaints about the Yerisha and the Chalika Sa'uret, and they're all upset at me. And the solution that Hashem answers is kind bnei selofcha doivris. Now, Rashi explains the word kind means that they're right. But it says kind, not uchain, or kinem anachem. I don't remember what the solution, but so the word goes, kind b'nai selofcha doivris. That's how b'nai selofcha speak. When women come and they start screaming and harassing you, don't take it so seriously, Moshe Rabbeinu. Calm down, they came with complaints, it's okay, kind. This is how b'nai selofcha doivris. So very often, it's important for men to realize men especially, but even women, whatever, that your wife said something, she screamed a little, don't get so thrown off. Again, you don't have to put yourself out there to be screamed at every day. But sometimes you're just taking it overboard by caring that much. When you interpret someone's comments correctly and you realize, okay, so comments, okay, this is fine, you know, she'll calm down, maybe even she'll ask me forgiveness later or whatever. I don't have to assume that this is what she blurted out is exactly what she thinks of me, and I don't have to assume that this is, you know, everything she's thinking about me and things like that. That alone makes things easier. So I hope that with the right understanding of individuality and privacy, and how to understand what someone is saying or not saying, and how to help them say the right thing and all that, you know, maybe yourself, a lot of these difficulties and resentments could be resolved, taken care of, we could all live together.